All right, let's go. Welcome, everybody, back to Heavy Equipment Radio. I'm Ryan and your host today. And today we're going to talk about trying out for a job and making a good impression. So let's get this podcast started, turn down this groovy music really quick, and let's talk. Okay, so you're ready to try out for a job opportunity. Now, any job opportunity I've had in regards to heavy equipment, and backhoes specifically, I have never required a written test that I've ever done that I recall. Yeah, maybe, but they all start the same way with what my experience has been, where you come on site, they put you in the machine, and they tell you to do something. So this episode is just going to be on doing the basic things for the beginner on the outset, what to worry about and what not to. So first thing I would do is basically the pre-checks. Ask if you have to sign in anywhere first before you begin work, because that's often required. Then do a pre-check, like checking the oil. They may wave you off that and say don't bother, but start there. Tell them that that's the way you're going to start. And definitely do a walk-around check whether they wave you off that or not. Just do a quick one. Look for something breaking. That's really about it. Also do a quick hazard assessment. Look around your area. See if there's any people, barriers, or things in the way, especially if you're going to be moving the machine. Now, hopefully right now, you're warming up the machine. Now, what I'm going to go over quickly here is there's two control types, basically, John Deere or Cat Control. They go under some other names, but that's how I know them best. You get used to one, you can adapt to another in a short amount of time, but cutting a grade, I found, when going from one control to another, was a little bit troublesome. Hoe packing, compacting, stuff like that was easy with different John Deere or Cat controls, but that's one of the first things you want to ask, and if you can switch them to get them the way you like, and if you can't, then just go a little slower, and I usually end up talking to myself a little bit when I'm using different controls than I'm used to, but it's not a deal breaker, and if you let them know that, they'll know right away that if what you're doing is correct, even though the controls are backwards for you. Now, you want to have the machine level, especially on an excavator, so that you're not rocking or anything like that. With rubber tire backhoe, where you put down stabilizers, you don't have to worry about that so much. You can use the stabilizers to get you level. But with a track hoe, you have to go in and actually make your own little level ground or do your best to do that so it doesn't rock on you. To make a good impression, say they want you to just simply dig a trench that's, 15 feet long. You know, just one swing out with the boom and dig towards you. What I do is make it as straight as I possibly can, obviously, but that comes important for the beginner on your first few digs. What you don't want to do is take a big just chunk out of the dirt, unless they're telling you to do that. Because when you take that chunk out and it pops up, it puts dirt all over the place. And also, it makes it a little harder to do a straight line. The easiest way to do a straight line right away is to put those teeth in and gently scratch that whole, say, 15-foot length. And scratch it down and loosen it up. And then slowly take about, say, half a foot and take your bucket and scoop it into the bucket by turning the bucket slightly as you're digging towards you. Once you get about 6 inches or a foot down, now that is going to be your trench and also your tracking line for your bucket. So you don't have to worry about being so straight. You've already got it for the first 6 inches. The rest of the bucket will basically keep itself straight. So I do that and I keep going down about 6 inches at a time. I don't usually bail big chunks of dirt out because it does make a big mess everywhere. The other thing is once you've dug your trench, say you've done it about 3 feet deep, you want to make sure that your spoil pile is 1 meter or about 3.5 feet away from either side of that trench. That's very important, and a lot of people will judge you on that. And that allows the workers to walk around where they don't have to worry about a big chunk of dirt coming off the top and rolling all the way down, hitting that flat part and going into the trench. Because if a guy gets hit in the head with a rock in a trench, it's no one's happy after that. Next thing is to do nice, slow, clean, smooth movements. And that's really about all I can say about that. It's just, if you're used to using joysticks, if you've played video games or something, you'll find it quite easy to just slow yourself down a little bit more than you normally would and make those actions look really smooth and deliberate, and people really like that as well. Watch all your overheads. I'm constantly working over overhead lines or around overhead lines. Make sure people stay out of your swing and inform them of that. Remember, you're trying to make a good impression here too if this is a job interview or just your first time on the job and you're getting to work. Sometimes when you have to move a machine around, whether it be a track hoe or a rubber tire backhoe on job sites, you literally have to make your own road and your own pad. And that's a lot of fun, actually. I enjoy doing that. And take your time to do it properly so that when your machine is set up, it's not going to roll if you're up on a little... Usually it's a hillside or a mound of dirt someone stockpiled somewhere, and they tell you to get on top of that and do whatever you're going to do, load trucks or whatever. So you actually build a road down, and then you can clean that all up when you're done, so it's not like you're making a big mess or anything like that. Make sure that the bolts are tight in critical areas, like on the tires. And a lot of the track hose and rubber tire back hose that I run have two bolts in the back that hold a key in to switch out the bucket to a jackhammer or a ripper device or something like that. And they always get loose. And if you don't check them, they will fall out. Now, if one falls out of two, well, that's okay, right? But it's really embarrassing if that happens when you're working around people. Because sometimes you're lifting stuff up for them like a crane. And if that bucket is loose and only has one bolt in it, that's a death sentence for the person below them. So you'd never want to see a bolt fall out on the ground. And it's happened to me, and it's happened just recently, so I ain't perfect either. But man, I was really embarrassed, and I was really glad that no one really saw it. But again, it was a little kick in the butt to say, hey, stay on top of these things. Some machines, the bolts stay secure, you know, for days. But I was on one last week where I had to tighten them about four times a day, or any time I really thought about it, I went and I tightened them up. And sure enough, about all the times they needed to be tightened and stuff too. Now, if you're loading dump trucks, again, you want to use smooth, steady motions. Don't try and be too quick, but you don't want to be too slow either, if that makes any sense. But when you're getting near the truck and stuff, when you're dumping in, remember they often have covers that go over top, and those are located near the back of the cab. And when you're swinging out a load of dirt, oftentimes you can hit that, and it's usually light aluminum, so it bends pretty easy, and the dump truck drivers, they don't like that. And when you're loading the dump trucks out, uncurl your bucket slowly. Don't just whip it open and dump a bunch of stuff bang onto the truck there, because it really upsets the truck. And you know, his office is in the cab too, so he might have paperwork or something sitting around, and or even drinking a cup of coffee. So be smooth when you put stuff down. A lot of times we have to put down asphalt and concrete in there, so what you want to do is get the bucket as low as possible to the bottom of that bed in the dump truck that you're comfortable with, and then slowly uncurl and let it bang down at least a little gentler. The same is true if they ask you to bed pipe or throw gravel or sand into the trench. You want to do that very slowly. You don't just want to flick it out. Sometimes you need to get a little distance or something, but for the most part, you want to do it nice and slow. Now, the reason for that is if you take a load of, let's say, some pea gravel, and there's a pipe down there, and you just drop it from 15 feet, maybe 20 feet above that trench, into the trench, when it hits the bottom of that trench, that's a huge impact that can actually destabilize the ground a bit even. But for the most part, it'll take that pipe that's down there that's supposed to be bedded gently, and it will bounce it. And that pipe will bounce out of shape or out of the right position, and it causes a lot of trouble. So you always want to throw gravel, sand, and even the first couple loads of dirt covering the pipe slowly and gently. And oftentimes that means get your bucket as low down to that area as you can, like within about a meter or so. Don't get close, but sometimes I have to check myself and say, you know, you're unloading the stuff out, you know, 10 feet above where it's hitting the ground. If you took it 5 feet lower, yeah, it just looks nicer and actually gets you to do a better job as well. So that being said, The jobs that I've tried out for, one, they just had a hoe pack on the back of a rubber tire backhoe, and they had me compact the ground right next to a cement column that was sticking up. So obviously they're trying to see how gentle I would be near the column, how good a control I had around the column, and, you know, how much I had to move the machine to get all the way around the column, which is easier than you think, but just requires a little thinking. But you can kind of be in one spot with a rubber tire and lift up your back end and change your angle just enough to be able to get around the back, and then as well as the fronts and everything, without really repositioning a whole lot. You don't want to hit the column. If the column is green, it'll start to shake apart and things will get ugly. So that's all they had me do for about 10 minutes. And when I didn't hit the column, they basically said I had the job. And fortunately, I started off by saying I wanted more money than I knew they would pay so we could negotiate downward. So note to self, people, if you know the job pays $30 an hour or $25 an hour, ask for $5 more than that and be confident on the site. And I actually had a guy apologize to me because they couldn't give me what I wanted, but I had no ideas of actually getting that wage anyways. Now, I want to talk about bringing out your inner artist. That's using smooth motions when you're using the backhoe itself, and using the least amount of turns. The least amount of turns is that you really have to watch a video on that, but as you say you're digging a trench, as you dig close towards you, you're putting the dirt in that bucket. You curl that bucket up, you lift it up, you turn it to your left or your right, and you put it into a dump truck. Now, once you've released like that, your arm is probably extended a bit. Remember, you've pulled this dirt in close to you. Leave it extended, and as you go over the dump truck and swing back to the trench, slowly let it out, so by the time you're over that trench, you're almost fully extended to where you want to start digging again. And it looks really pretty. I don't know if people are all that impressed with it or anything, but it is the most efficient way to turn a machine, and most people with a lot of experience will very much appreciate that. Another test I did was basically to grade the ground and load dump trucks for a company. And this was kind of a raw land situation. And what they had was stakes in the ground, and these stakes had numbers on them. And we'll have to do another podcast on that. But those stakes will tell you how much depth needs to be taken out to get to the grade. And they usually involve offset. So it's saying to you something like, you know, 1 meter off this stake that's in the ground, you want to be 0.012 of a meter below the top of that stake. And once you get that straight, which is sounds a little more complicated than it is, I'm probably not explaining it well, but I got on the machine, and it was supposed to be a 6-inch, 6 inches of dirt I'm supposed to take off the top of these things. This machine was a John Deere 650 something, oh my god, like the size of a house, with a bucket on it that was called a cleaning bucket, so it had no teeth, and it was much bigger than a digging bucket was, so you could load trucks quicker. Now, I could load a truck with like 3 scoops of this thing, but it had cat controls and not the John Deere I was used to, and they wanted me to cut a grade. So instead of 6 inches, I cut about a foot, foot and a half at times out of this thing. And as for loading the dump trucks, it was impressive to be able to load them with 3 scoops at a time. But a machine that size, when you're swinging over to load a dump truck, you got to do that slow, because I went too fast the first time. And when I went to stop, it went about another 20 feet before it stopped, just because the machine was so big. And I was used to using much smaller machines, like, you know, a Hitachi EX120 or a 235, the new Z-axis machines, which are very sweet and powerful, I might say. Another test I did for a company, all they told me to do was to take this pile and with the back end move it 10 feet over. So they were just watching how safely I took a pile that was cone-shaped and dug it and move it, where if you just dug into that pile all of a sudden, it would kind of collapse and things would fall down. You kind of want to scoop lightly from the top and use a little bit of English on it. And it's kind of a boring test, but that's all they asked me to do on that one. one of the first places that I tried out for, I didn't know how to use the front end of a rubber tire backhoe. I'd only really used an excavator that I owned myself and had a bit of front end loader experience, but only on my old International Harvester tractor, so it was hardly the same. But I told them that up front, and they basically had me go into a snow pile with the back end, and they threw a bunch of cones and pieces of 2x4s and stuff on the snow pile and said, dig a trench and don't hit any of that stuff. And they basically knew within 15 minutes that I would be fine, and spent the rest of my time having me do a bit of snow removal that was left in the parking lot of our yard where all our machines were. And by moving light snow around, and that slipperiness too, they were able to teach me the idiosyncrasies of using the front end to a certain degree. Some front ends also have a clamshell design where they actually open up. I'll do a little episode on that, because if you get a chance to use that, it's weird at first, but once you get it, it is awesome. You can pick up all kinds of things and really do some neat work with that kind of stuff. The other thing to note is when you're on a track hoe machine, an excavator itself, when you're done for the day or done from your interview or whatever, clean the tracks off in case they're going to move the machine or something like that. It always looks good. And also, if you don't clean the tracks off and rocks and stuff get in there, your tracks will come off. So always keep your tracks nice and clean. I'm going to end that there for this podcast, and I'm going to do another podcast here very shortly to kind of get things updated. I'm going to cover one episode that will include locates, hydrovac, cages, spill kits, first aid, hazard reports, mustard points, how to do a road closure, and how to deal with the public sometimes. So thanks very much again for listening. Another one on its way very shortly. Send me your ideas or your comments or your stories. I got a whole lot of ideas and not enough time to do them, but I'm going to start recording more podcasts right from my machine, and maybe it'll give it more of an authentic taste. Thanks again, everybody. Stay tuned for more Heavy Equipment Radio and the Ramblings of an Idiot.